She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our cheddar stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
You know, I'm over here listening to Chew talk about the old credit card, debit card, all of that stuff. And it got me thinking, do you guys have savings bonds? Do you?
I used to.
Because I was cleaning out the safe the other day. First of all, Chewy, do you have a safe at your house?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. So I was cleaning out the safe the other day, and I found a savings bond that somebody had purchased for Chase. Chase is 16, purchased it for Chase. And that sucker doesn't even mature for another 15 years. It's a $50 savings bond. I went on the Gov app, you know, U.S. Yeah. Gov app or whatever, Treasury app, and it says it's worth about $27.50 right now.
Do you give it to him? Did you tell him?
Do I give it to him? Do I tell him? I can give it to him, but again, it's only worth $27.50 now. It hasn't fully matured. What was that? Was that a major scam or just a minor scam?
It's a good question. It just smells of First Communion.
What do you mean?
Right?
Totally. You couldn't.
When you
get
First Communion, you get all these saving bonds, and I think I waited till I was 18. And then cashed them all out for nothing.
Yeah, for nothing.
Do people still do that?
I don't know. That's what when you were talking about your credit cards and debit cards and money and stuff, it got me thinking about how I was going through it and I stumbled upon it. And I was like, oh, this is nice. Someone gave Chase a $50 savings bond. I'm guessing when he was born or when he was one. And it's still not worth $50.
It feels generational. It feels like there was a specific generation of men and women who fell into love with the idea of a savings bond and any bond that is issued to the government. I mean, it is, to call it a scam, I think, is being a little harsh because it is one of our most stable yeah. forms of money. That we know of that is possible.
It's not a scam, Chew, but it is taking advantage of a few very human instinct things, okay? Which is one, instant gratification. Nobody wants to wait until the thing matures completely, right? They'd rather get the $27.50 now because they stumbled upon it than wait for it to mature another 15 years to the full $50 value. And also it feels like it was like the older generation's way of teaching a lesson, right? Like, now I'm going to give you this $50 savings bond, but you got to wait until 2045 in order for it to mature.
It kind of feels like it's the pregnancy of war bonds.
What does that mean? You know what I mean? Like the love child of war bonds or what?
No, well, back in the day there were war bonds. Hey, let's invest in the war. We need money. And then they morph to, hey, First Communion, how about get them a bond?
So are we in or out? I would never purchase a savings bond now, right? Like, I'll give the kid the $50, and if they spend it on trinkets and tchotchkes, you know, or, you know, whatever it is, fine. Would I prefer for them to save it? Sure, because I know the value of saving money early on, now. But man, the old savings bond. Yeah, sucker's bet.
I feel like there must have been some good PR for the savings bond market that affected people for most of their life after it happened. I think Chewy is right with the origin back to like the war bonds and stuff along those lines. But it feels like something happened in the 80s or 90s, maybe to do with Reagan. And like, I don't know who pushed it, but like, I'm sure I have savings bonds. I have no idea what their value is.
Yeah, but...
And I have no idea. Like, I wouldn't be able to find
them. Where are they? See, that's the other
thing, I'm sure
right?
my parents have them, and I'm not waiting for them. If they find them and cash them, go ahead. Sure.
But I had a great radical aunt that all the other aunts were buying, you know, bonds, and this aunt would buy me, like, scratch-off tickets from the gas station. And we thought that was great. Now, we didn't win. We always lost, but... you know, what kid gives a crap about a bond in second grade? Give him some scratch-offs? Yeah, start him young.
Now, to that point, yesterday we did our annual Latta family Hackney's lunch for St. Patrick's Day. So we go down to Illinois. We go to Hackney's, this restaurant. We've been doing it since I was a little kid. And we sit there and we have lunch, corned beef and cabbage and whatnot. Everybody gets a Reuben because, well, first of all, corned beef and cabbage stinks.
Like, no way. You haven't had good corned beef and cabbage, though.
You knew what you were walking into there, Jen.
The Blammer's wife makes the best, and she's 100% Irish, but she makes the best cabbage. Oh. Cabbage is the gift that keeps on giving the whole night.
Yeah, exactly. Doo-doo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Was that you?
It's the only time of year I will have corned beef and cabbage, so I try to keep up the tradition. My dad would get it every year, even though there were much more tasty things on the menu every year. The reason I bring it up is because my mom handed out scratch-offs to everybody. That's her thing,
nice.
Too. Whenever we go out for St. Patrick's Day lunch, everybody gets a scratch-off. It's like Luck of the Irish or, you know, Lucky Clovers or something like that.
In the event someone in the family wins a significant amount. Now, I don't know what the scratch-offs are. It's usually, my grandpa used to give them a lot, and they were like $1 or $2, and the most you could win was like $250. But say it's one of the $10 ones that has a potential grand prize of thousands. Are you obligated to then give the giver some of the received winnings? So say you have a $10 scratch-off, you win $10K.
No.
Are you then obligated to share with the giver?
Maybe $10K.
Yeah. No,
anything
I
under,
don't.
No.
I mean, I got to think. So it depends on who the giver is, right? Like, the giver is my mom, right? Grandma to
Grandma's
all of the
not
kiddos.
Gonna, yeah.
Grandma's not going to make anybody give her a portion of it. Now, someone might, just to be nice and try to earn brownie points.
Would
but...
you get Grandma something nice? Something she... I don't know your mother, so I can't suggest any gifts, but maybe there's a nice thing Grandma would like. Maybe you get it as part of your 10 grand.
Maybe. I get her Marquette tickets is what I get her. She enjoys a good Marquette basketball game.
Let me ask you this. Do you have to be 18 in order to get scratch-offs?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So your mother was committing a crime then.
Well, she gave them to all the grown-up kids. And then if we let our children...
Are they over 18,
though? So here's the thing. So that's chain of command there is what that is, Chew. She gave it to all of us kids. Yeah, we're all over 18. My youngest brother's like 30.
Oh, I thought she was giving them to your kids.
Well, so then what? So we would scratch, and then, of course, the kids, if they're not in the arcade, inevitably come over and say, can I scratch off? And then you give them the coin and let them do the scratching. I don't know. So she basically absolves herself of any crime doing by pushing it through the older kids, by pushing it through the adult kids. Do want to talk about Marquette and Wisconsin yesterday as the bracket was released, Selection Sunday. Selection Sunday, I feel like, this is going to sound silly to say, I feel like it used to be a bigger deal. Is that weird? I don't know if it's the internet and it's the TikToks and the da-da-da, and now we know that we don't have to sit in front of the television to watch that moment where our team is announced. I was doing some volunteer work yesterday, so I wasn't able to watch any of it. Not a single minute of the selection show. And I was like, I don't feel like I missed anything.
Is it me, or is it also now much more drug out? Like, it feels like...
Like, drawn out?
Yeah, it feels like they used to kind of rapid fire them all at you so you knew who was where. And now it felt like it was, like, more than an hour of them, like, revealing piece by piece, slowly but surely. It felt like it was... Bracket comes out and they react. That was how it used to be. And I felt like I was waiting forever to see who was finally in
the tournament. So you did watch the Selection Sunday show yesterday?
I had it on in the background as I was doing other things because, like, there was no, are the Badgers or Marquette going to make it? So it was just kind of like, what's going on? I'm going to listen to it while I do other stuff.
Yeah, I think the selection show has lost a little luster.
Yeah.
I think it's lost
think it's
a little
lost
bit.
A lot.
There it is.
I mean, 15 years ago, yeah, you'd watch. Now, you just don't know players. I don't know any players. I don't even think I could name five college players, you know? So I'm a middle-of-the-pack guy. I love the tournament, you know? But I used to know teams. I don't know teams anymore.
Do you think you would love it more if you were invested in a team? Do you think you would love March Madness even more? You already said you love it. If you had a team, if you had some guys that you were rooting for. See, some of this I still think is NFL-related. The NFL season goes so long, right?
Yeah.
that by the time the NFL wraps up, and I know there are people who can multitask and you can be paying attention to multiple leagues at once, but by the time the NFL wraps up for a lot of people, then you start your foray into college basketball and then you start paying attention to the teams, right? And like there is that, you miss the whole first half of the season. You could argue that it's the second half of the season that matters as far as how teams are going to perform in the tournament, which is not great for Marquette, if we're being honest. So Marquette Chu, I'm sure you saw, I was concerned that they were going to fall to an 8 seed. They did get a 7 seed. They're playing New Mexico in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin played in the Big Ten championship game. Now, you watched some of that game, right, Chu?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think of the Badgers?
Very white. Just blah, like, okay. In Michigan, you could say the same thing. It just kind of... Is it me? It's just a half-court offense. Am I right or wrong? Because, Joshy, who is it you that said this was kind of... Wisconsin didn't look like Wisconsin yesterday.
If you only have seen the Big Ten championship game, you have a misguided idea of who the Badgers are. The Badgers are one of the highest-scoring offenses in all of college basketball. They have completely adopted a new style of play, a modernization of offense. We all remember the Dick Bennett, the Bo Ryan swing offense. Now, there was some success there, obviously, with the trips to the Final Four, but it's a new time, and great guard, and all the credit goes to him. He has adopted NIL, he has adopted the transfer portal, and they modernized the offense. And he said on Wilde and Tausch and other programs he's been on ESPN Wisconsin that it was time to update, and it was either get with it or get left behind. What you saw yesterday was a team that had played 4 games in 4 days on both sides. Like, yeah. It wasn't like Michigan was any good. But the Badgers are, like, averaging, like, close to 80 points a game. Like, John Tanjay is like, a scorer. They're moving the ball. They're shooting threes. It was tired legs. I mean, everything was coming up short, it felt like, in that first half. But it didn't get much better.
Let me ask you, is the SEC good now?
Yeah.
And college hoops are obviously good in football,
yeah,
because the teams in the SEC are willing to pay for a good team where the other conferences are not.
Well, I think a lot of people
are paying. You look at Alabama, you look at Auburn.
I think St. John's is paying. I think Petito, you know, if there's a stone you can uncover.
Well, Mike Rapoli, the owner of like Body Armor and all that stuff, has said, I'm paying for stuff. So some teams are paying, It's just the sport has become more diversified. There are more players on different teams because, as we saw, AJ Storr went to Kansas for $1 million, didn't play a lick. Chucky Hepburn went to Louisville, made them a pretty damn good team. He got paid a lot more than Wisconsin was able to offer them. So, like, these teams aren't sticking together. There are the Cooper Flags and the Con Knipples that are the young kids that are coming in that recruiting still matters. It's just there's no Frank Kaminsky, Ben Brust, Tyler Kolek.
Yeah, where guys were there for 4 years.
Right.
You got to know them, you watched them grow,
yes.
All of those things that we do sort of love about college basketball. I'm wondering how you feel about this, Joshy, because obviously the Badgers were on quite a roll, but they only shot 21% from the floor, 17% from three-point range in that game against Michigan. You mentioned having tired legs. Better to have that game now, though, right? Like, I'm of that belief.
Yeah.
Like, the conference tournaments, to me, guys, whatever. You win it, gravy, cool. I even get a little nervous about, to your point, how much do you want these guys running in the days leading up to the NCAA tournament? But I don't really care about it all that much. I watched all of Marquette's action in the big East tournament and some of the other games that followed. But is it good that the Badgers had this clunker of a game in the Big Ten title game? They still got the 3 seed. Even though a lot of people are upset that they're not in Milwaukee playing at Fiserv Forum. Where are they going? Colorado? Denver? They're out in Denver if I saw correctly.
Yep.
Is there any part of you that says this is good to have a clunker of a game, to have this type of game where you're not shooting well, you're not yourself in the conference championship, and then make a run in the tournament?
I don't think it's all that significant because it was so clearly exhaustion from both of the programs. I mean, the Badgers had a terrible shooting game against Michigan State when they played them towards the end of the regular season. Like, this team needs to shoot, and this team can shoot with the Badgers. They do have plenty of guys who can make threes. It was just, like, I mean, the amount that both teams were refusing to get the ball into the paint was telling you, we're tired and we don't want to do the physical activities of it. So sure, it's a, you could say it's a good thing, but like John Tanjay was perfect from three. Like he didn't miss a shot for most of the game that they played in the first round that they played. So it's just what's going to happen. The big issue is, and what you could say is, it almost would have been better for the Badgers to lose in the semifinal against Michigan State, because in that scenario, they likely still have a three seed and they have an extra day of rest, because now they're going to be traveling and playing in the first sessions on Thursday after playing four games in a row and only having 4 days
of
rest.
Why does the committee allow that to happen? Why does the committee allow a team that played in the championship game?
They do it every year.
Go out and have to play on Thursday. That should be standard operating procedure. If you are good enough to represent your conference in the title game, you automatically play on Friday. Figure the bracket out.
Right. It seems like it would be easy to do. Now, like the SEC, they only played, the three teams that were in the championship game only played 3 games in 3 days. Both teams that were in the Big Ten championship, 4 games in 4 days. And then, like, the ACC and the Big East, they all have that extra day off. So if they play on Thursday, it's not that big of a deal. They still have the 5 days. Why you would basically punish those teams for entertaining you, for giving you a lead-up to your whole bracket release? Like, just make it Friday. It seems that easy. And now there's seeding and stuff you have to figure out. But clearly the committee did not want really any team to have like a home court advantage.
Does it really matter, though?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's basketball. You're not playing for 4 days. I mean, how many days do you need?
Well, let me throw this out there. Jaylian on the YouTube stream says, Badgers better be out in Denver early working out in elevation. If they're tired now, just imagine what Denver will do to you.
I was talking to some people about this, and not many people were with me. The conditions of basketball are generally flat. Like, you're in an arena. The circumstances are mostly the same. It's controlled climate. Everything else is, like, in college basketball, NBA, and hockey, you just have to deal with elevation. And that's just like an added factor.
I will tell you this, though. Having come from elevation, when I was in Italy and we went up to the Alps, so we were down in Turin for the first few days, and then we went up to the mountains for the last 4 days, 5 days. Holy moly, did it take a toll.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm housing water because I can feel my body just like struggling with the elevation difference. So it's a real thing, obviously. I don't want anybody out there thinking this is like a myth that people just have been using as excuses. I think there is some truth to, recognize that this might have an impact.
Yeah, it is different because it is neutral site, so nobody has. But like, it is kind of crazy that there's just some games being played at a mile high and some that are being played at, or all the rest are being played at nearly sea level.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. We're going to follow up on the Aaron Rodgers saga, where we think he will end up this morning, and get you caught up on everything going on with the Green Bay Packers. But we will continue talking about Marquette and Wisconsin in the big dance, how we think they're going to go. In fact, who is going to make a deeper run? Now that you've seen the brackets, now that you've seen how it'll shake out for each team, who makes a deeper run in the NCAA tournament this year? We'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Time of year, this time of day, I'd like to have a crisp new bracket sitting in front of me, a little blank bracket sitting in front of me. But we have printer problems here at Good Karma Brands, so no crisp printer or no crisp bracket for me right now. So I'm going to go online and just pull up a printable bracket.
I just want to say, if you are doing special printing projects on your work printer, take care of it once you're done. Put it back to normal.
You're saying the very least you can do if you're going to use the company's equipment for your own personal projects, which is what it apparently looks like it was, right, Josh?
It was these massive sheets of paper that are like basically two printer papers next to each other. They put it in this printer and adopted it and then left it. So when I went to use the printer, nothing was working. And I'm cursing whosever name it was that did it.
What were they doing? Printing out their thesis?
Well no, it was almost more like
it was like poster board size paper. Big. Yeah.
That's how the printer was set up this morning when Joshy went to print off our brackets and our show sheets and all that stuff.
So, is that going to be one more out of the 400 emails I get from the station daily that are worthless?
Well, man, those emails really chap you, don't they?
Look, I don't care if you're out of office, Jimmy Jones. I really don't. Right? I mean, they talk about getting mad at me for hitting reply all, which I did on purpose just to, you know, get in people's craw. But I mean, holy, you guys are with me. You guys are just nicer than I am on a Monday. But I'm like, the minutia.
No, here's what it is. We understand the necessity of it. It's not like it bothers us any less, but because we understand that the communication needs to occur, it doesn't upset us as much as it upsets
also
you.
It's crazy that it upsets you so much because emails are so insignificant to not only your job but your life. You just like having a clean inbox.
They clog my phone up. Totally.
They do not clog your phone up.
Yes, I think they do.
This isn't like eating too many French fries. And
what percentage of the emails pertain to any of us?
Well, to
probably
you, virtually
you the most,
none.
Joshy.
To you, it's basically zero.
Yes.
To me, it's like most of them matter to me.
Look, if I knew how to send an email out to everyone that says, oh, I will be out of office in November, I would do it. But I don't know how to do it, so I don't know.
We'll keep it that way.
I'm going to call that bluff, and I'm going to get back to the bracket.
Okay.
So let's take a look at the bracket, Chu. Marquette is in the South region. Right now, their first matchup is against New Mexico. If they get through New Mexico, which you have a connection to New Mexico,
well,
right?
Yeah, I'm pulling for New Mexico.
Okay, well, there
I'm
it is.
I'm always loyal to the schools that
have employed your children.
So. Yeah. Yes, they were very nice.
Took them off
Didn't
your
have
hands,
to pay
if
for
you
a
will.
Thing. Yeah.
If they were to get through New Mexico, they would face the winner of Michigan State. And is it Bryant? Yep, that's Bryant. Now, again, to bring you in here, I don't have a physical bracket in front of me because our printer system is down. But I am looking at a PDF on, I don't know, it doesn't matter, NCAA. And it says Bryant. I am unfamiliar with Bryant.
Bryant
Josh, you got
College.
any info on Bryant?
I got
Bryant?
No information on Bryant.
Yeah,
I am aware of them. Yeah, they're the Bears, I believe.
Yeah. Bryant, where's, I think it's New York, maybe upstate New York. So that's a win. All right, I got another one for you. What is SIUE?
SIUE, Southern
they're
Illinois
playing...
University at Edwardsville.
Yes.
No way.
Nailed it.
Wow.
I think, I don't know.
Houston.
Is that what it is?
Oh, that is it. Yeah, you're correct.
Is it? Wow.
Because you got two like Southern it. Illinois. You got Carbondale, Southern. I think. And
yeah.
I think Edwardsville. Well, that's good to know. So they made it in. Congratulations to them. So Marquette would have to play the winner of Michigan State and Bryant. I'm going to go out on a very safe limb here and say that'll be Michigan State winning that game. Michigan State, which also looks very good. You know, I've got to catch enough Big Ten action this year that Michigan State was rolling.
So let me ask you that, Jim. Jen, they lose to Michigan State. You being an alumnus of Marquette, how would you grade the season? Meh?
Meh.
Meh?
Yeah, meh. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I think it's underwhelming. I think, look, last year the team was better. Players were better. Tyler Kolek and Oso Iguodaro are doing their thing, you know, in the NBA and the G League, you know, back for Tyler Kolek occasionally. I think they really miss those guys. I think they really miss Tyler Kolek's killer instinct. I think Cam Jones has the potential to show that, but I think that they really, really struggle, Chu, with their size.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest guys they have are young. They're like freshmen. And so, you know, you got them banging around in there with some of these older players. And I think the youth really shows up.
Shaka doesn't. I don't understand these coaches that don't want to use every means available to make the team better.
What do you mean?
Because, well, he's not. He doesn't like the portal, right? It's
correct.
It's kind of like, who's Clemson? Dabo?
Correct.
Dabo. Why? It's there.
Well, because he values relationships, family, and he thinks he can build better chemistry by keeping the guys that he has recruited. You know, he recruits them for a reason because he thinks that they can be a major cog in the success of the team. And I think, again, having had conversations with him about this and just getting to know him a little bit through the basketball show, he doesn't want to take the risk of going out and grabbing somebody, paying somebody, and then not knowing how that might affect the chemistry that they've been building for years.
I just think if you want a national championship, that's the way it's got to be done. And I'll say this about Wisconsin, because I have a bunch of friends that are, you know, Wisconsin football fans. There's a defeatist attitude. It's just defeatist because these schools are willing to spend millions of dollars on their athletes. And the guys that I talk to, my buddies are like, you know, it's going to be back to where 7-5 was a good year because they're not beating Oregon. They're not beating USC. They're not beating Ohio State. They're not beating these schools that want to dump millions of dollars into their programs. So it's like, all right.
Now, I assume your buddies are talking football, right? Your buddies
football,
are talking
correct.
About the football program.
But with basketball, Jen, it is so much easier to win a national championship in basketball because you're only talking about five guys.
You're talking about from a recruiting standpoint? Sure.
Yeah.
You got to go a little deeper into your bench for these games, especially when you play back-to-back and whatnot. And But to your point, Shu, everything is changing. It's not just football that changed, right? It's not football
correct.
That just has to react to the new NIL and transfer portal world that we're in. And it seems like a lot of these basketball programs have, but Shaka has chosen not to. Shaka has chosen to stay the course. It's a little like, if I'm being honest, Chu, what we have said about Brian Gutekunst. It's a little like that, where we're saying, oh, Brian Gutekunst is a discipline of Ted Thompson, and Ted Thompson didn't like to go out in free agency. Draft and develop is the plan for the Packers. And if you believe in that plan and you have proof of concept, then you don't have to deviate. The only question I would say to Shaka is, at what point does proof of concept fall short? At what point, you know, if to your analogy, to your hypothetical, if they lose in the second round to Michigan State, can you claim that what you're doing is working?
I mean, you're going to have years that you have to reset, but I don't know. I just think there's we're in an era of schools that have been really, really good that are just like now they've pivoted and have that defeatist attitude. Like, no, we cannot compete for a national championship because we don't have boosters that are going to give Wisconsin football $20 million to compete with Ohio State or in basketball. You're going to tell me that, ooh, Alabama all of a sudden just got good. All of a sudden. Guarantee they're dumping NIL money into that program, and that's why they're as good as they are.
So there is a theory, metric, you know, trend that you have can follow when it comes to college basketball. I'm going to tell you the rules of college basketball to help you fill out your bracket, to help you potentially figure out who is going to win the NCAA tournament this year. That's next. Stick around.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse
finally
than
we
what
got,
ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally we figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Working, so we now have a crisp blank men's 2025 NCAA tournament bracket in front of us. Chewy, I want to go through what DraftKings is calling the rules of March Madness. So they have figured out trends, if you will. You know, sometimes they're always like, oh, you know, you got that five. What if, geez, my brain just stopped on me. Love it when that happens in the morning. You know, these people talk about the 5-12 matchup and how there's always like a 12 that shimmies its way through that game. That's one. That's not one that they talk about here, but I want to give you some of these. They say that rule number one is this. No team west of Texas has won the NCAA men's basketball tournament title since 1997. So they go ahead and eliminate 13 teams that are west of the state of Texas. Do you like that rule?
Who was the last one? UCLA, probably?
It's a great question. 1997 men's NCAA champ.
Was that the Bannons? Did they win it? It kind of feels like that.
Joshy is efforting as we speak.
So eliminate 13. Okay.
Now you got 55 teams remaining. Number two, rule number two, this according to DraftKings, no seed, what'd you say? Arizona.
The Arizona Wildcats.
Okay.
No seed higher than 8 has made the title game. Whew, Marquette just snuck in there by the skin of their teeth. No seed higher than 8 has made the title game. That eliminates 29 teams. 26 teams remain. Again, these are trends that have happened in the past that they are just aggregating. You okay with that one?
Yep.
Okay. Rule number 3. The last 20 champions have been ranked in the top 12 of the Week 6 poll. Now, I'm not sure why Week 6 is the week they chose. It feels a little arbitrary to me. But Week 6 is where they go, and they say no team has been ranked outside of the top 12 for the last 20 years for Week 6. So that eliminates 16 teams, and there are only 10 teams remaining. For whatever it's worth, guys, at this point, through three gates, if you will, on your way to the NCAA tournament title, Marquette is still in. Marquette is still one of the 10 teams that passes those three historical tests. When we get to rule number 4, that's where we lose them. Rule number 4, according to DraftKings, is the last 19 of 22 champs have KenPom top 20 adjusted offense and top 40 adjusted defense. You know KenPom, when they do the adjusted offense, adjusted defense chew? That's estimating a points team per 100% possessions, both offensively and defensively. So that's where we lose Marquette. Marquette drops off after the rule number 4 because the last 19 of 22 champs. Now, you could also argue there's 3 that have been on the outside, 3 exceptions to that rule. But now you're only left with 6 teams. Are you curious at all what those 6 teams are? For when you're filling out your bracket.
Yeah, I could probably figure it out.
You could?
Yeah. Florida.
Yes.
Who looked good yesterday against Tennessee.
There's another one.
Tennessee. Let's go Houston.
That's Houston is three. Not one of the 6 remaining that qualifies for rule number 4.
St. John's?
St. John's is not one of the 6 teams remaining. Now you got to think SEC a little bit more.
There's a couple staring you right in the face.
Yep. Like 1 seeds.
SEC?
Do you know who the number 1 team in all of college basketball is?
Doesn't.
Yeah, Auburn.
Oh, well then why'd you guess them?
That's a good point. Auburn, Duke?
Duke is also on this list.
1 left?
2 left.
2 left. Ah, la la la. Michigan State?
No.
They're usually solid on D. No.
One is a Big 12 team and one is an SEC team.
There's no way he gets Big 12.
Why?
Because you wouldn't think Houston? Of this team.
Houston's not.
Houston's a 1 seed. They're in the Midwest
but
region.
Not Big 12.
But they're not. Oh, well.
Houston is in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iowa State.
Yep. There it is.
Oh, that's the one I thought you'd never get.
Why?
I don't think you think of Iowa State as a basketball school.
Oh, I was going to say it's because he doesn't think you're smart, but yours is better, Joshy.
Early in the year, they were very good, right? Weren't they up around
They're still
number
very
one?
Good.
Yeah. Are they a 3 seed this year?
They are 2. They are 3.
Yep, there it is.
They're playing Lipscomb. Where's Lipscomb?
Another great question.
All right.
Joshy's going to the old Google machine. We only have one more team. Alabama's the last team.
Okay.
So Tennessee, Florida, Auburn, Iowa State, Alabama, and Duke are the 6 teams remaining. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is according to DraftKings. These are the rules, the unofficial rules. They're just following trends. They just went back in history and saw what are some trends that have developed over the last 20 years when it comes to the teams that win the NCAA tournament. And rule number 5 is this. The last 21 of 22 champs have either been UConn or top 3 in KenPom. And the only teams that apply that applies to are, because UConn was already out, UConn has not been in, going through these gates, these rules, if you will. So the only two teams remaining are Florida and Duke. And so when you're filling out your bracket, keep that in mind. I think that's Duke, those are good suggestions.
Yeah, but I would think that everyone was going to pick those six teams anyways to be in the finals, right?
You think so? You think people were pushing the Cyclones through?
70%
of them? I mean, they're going to beat Lipscomb, as you mentioned.
Lipscomb also is in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh. No idea. Although I did see a conversation somebody was having about just teams that make the NCAA tournament, and they said something like, you know, there's always like four teams from Nashville make it. You didn't even know they were in Nashville. So after that, they would play Ole Miss, San Diego State, North Carolina. North Carolina, by the way, that they're in a playing game. That got a lot of controversy over the weekend. So Iowa State goes through Ole Miss. Then they would play, well, they're in the same bracket, by the way, as Marquette. So if Marquette were to beat New Mexico and somehow beat Michigan State, then they would play Marquette in the Sweet 16. Or New Mexico or Michigan State. Those are the other options. I like those rules. I like when they show trends.
Yeah.
I think it just sort of educates you as you're making your picks. Look, you want to make your picks based on the mascots. You want to make your picks based on uniforms. That's fine by me, too. Like, in some pools, that actually works.
Yeah, I mean, this comes down to, and I think it's, there are some juggernauts at the top there with the Dukes and the Auburns and stuff like that, but you... we hear about it all the time. The person who watched not a lick of college basketball ended up winning the tournament because they picked probably less upsets than you're used to, maybe nailed a couple right ones, and then they got the national championship right. Like, it's, this isn't, as much as we spend time watching and thinking about this, the real science here is just kind of luck of the draw, if you were to try. Like, it's just being better than everyone. And what happens to most people who watch it a lot or think they know a lot is they think they have one team that is too low ranked and are going to make a run, and that team usually just does what's expected.
I heard Best Week Ever ESPN program on the weekend talking about how many brackets you should be able to fill out. What is the correct number of brackets that you should be able to fill out? We're going to get to that right after this. Thank you, Chewy, for your suggestion. You can defend your position right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I think more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Continuing to talk about Marquette and Wisconsin in the big dance. Finally got a bracket in front of us as opposed to trying to read that tiny print on the computer. Marquette taking on New Mexico in the South region. Badgers taking on Montana in the East. Badgers with the 3 seed, Marquette with the 7 seed. A lot of people frustrated with how things shook out for the Badgers. I do. I haven't taken a look at the list of who is playing at Fiserv. Joshy, did you happen to see the teams that will be playing here in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum?
The teams that took their spot was Kentucky and Troy. Kentucky is the 3 seed in the Midwest bracket, which is where they would be playing. Now, to be fair, Kentucky is ranked higher than them, so it would make sense why they would be there, but... that was basically the matchup there that would have given them also, I believe, a Friday game had they been seated in Milwaukee here.
Yeah, feels like a miss there by the committee. I asked you before the break, what is the proper number of brackets to fill out? Look, I'm not going to be the bracket police here. You can fill out as many brackets as you want. You want to keep dropping your money into pools and see if you can win the big pot? Absolutely, have at it. I love a good gamble. I think we all know that about me at this point. But Chewy, you said you can only do one bracket. What is your rationalization for that?
Well, you can do more than one. You could do 10 or whatever. But if you are doing, you know, 5 to 10, then you can't go, oh, I'm killing my bracket. I'm killing my bracket. It's unbelievable. And fail to say, well, I filled out 10 of them. That's all I'm saying. You fill out as many as you want, but it takes you out of the running when it comes to having a great bracket as opposed to someone that does one and nails it. That's my problem.
Okay, fair enough. Josh, you have a number on this? You have a, a thought on how many brackets are the appropriate number of brackets?
Less so a number, more so just don't tell me about your bracket. I don't care. It's much like your fantasy team. It's great. You could talk to it with your league mates and your friends if they were asking for like what's going on here. But telling me that so-and-so crushed your bracket or you're already done, I don't care. I'm going to have a bunch of them because I like to gamble, put interest in it. I will have different results in all of them because if I do the same thing and one fails, it'll be a bad result
for me. Because I like to gamble.
Yes. Yeah. It feels pretty straightforward, does it not? But yeah, it's just don't tell me about your bracket.
I'm a little surprised that you're taking this position, though. And Chu, follow me here. Joshy is our draft nerd, right? He is all in, digging deep, checking out the scores, checking out the workouts, all of that stuff, right? He's on Reddit pages, seeing if he can dig on little things that nobody knows about. And we love him for that, right? Like, that is absolutely valuable. Yeah. That is a huge resource for us as we head into this time of the year, you know, a month or so before the NFL draft. That, to me, Joshy, feels very similar to the people who get all excited about brackets. Like, it's the little nuance of it. It's the little, like, you know, the draft makes you go. The draft makes you tick.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I know how many people actually care about college basketball in the regular season, and this is a one-and-done tournament. It is. There are going to be things that happen that nobody on Earth should or would predict because it wouldn't make sense for NC State to be a Final Four team. Like, if you got that, good for you, but you didn't have some special... You just got lucky. It is a luck thing. To me, filling out a bracket is akin to the squares.
Isn't that why it appeals to so many people?
Yes, but it's insignificant, the result. Like,
Bracket has done an incredible job of convincing the general public that they can...
And it's fun to do. It's fun to write the names.
Yeah, but how far does toadiness come into play? Like, Jen, are you taking Marquette to the Final Four
because you
went there and you're a little toady? Because I've seen so many Wisconsin people. Oh, I got Wisconsin in the Final Four. Like, come on. What are we doing here?
This is a great question, and it brings it right back to where I started this thing with the brackets. So the best information I saw when Best Week Ever was debating how many brackets you should, again, loosely should, be able to fill out on a weekend was... You have one that is based on what you have seen, right? And the strength of the conferences and the strength of the programs, right? You have your logical bracket. Then you have your heart bracket, okay? And that is just, I've been a Marquette fan my whole life. Really would love to see Shaka and the guys make a deep run, get to the Final Four. That would be incredible. And you do a heart bracket. And then you've got one more just sort of, throwing spaghetti. You know, you want to do uniforms, I'm going to pick whatever letter is higher in the alphabet in each individual matchup and see how that goes. It's sort of a funsy, no rules bracket. I like that thought. I like the thought of three. You got a head, you got a heart, and you got a chaos.
See,
all right, so take the two Wisconsin schools out of it, okay? Who do you want to see win it? You know who I want to see win it? St. John's.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a little schadenfreude happening there then.
Well, I think it's a great story. You know, Pitino, they kind of crapped on him, didn't really have anywhere to go. No one wants him. Then he goes to St. John's. I'm sure there's some.
To be fair, Pitino's kind of earned a little bit of his.
The crapping.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to see them go far?
Not particularly.
For whatever it's worth, Joshy, I was working my way through mentally how to convey that same thought. You know, like delicately, you know, just like.
Yeah, I'll say it right to
you. You don't want to see a representative from the Big East win it?
Ugh.
That to me, I never understand that. When people are like.
I'm all for it.
Hey, Ohio State's in the national championship game for football. It's good for the Big. No, I hate them. Screw them. I don't want them to do well. I'm rooting against them.
Why?
Although you do get a lot of money. If we were to go, you know, follow the bouncing ball, the conference that wins the national championship does get quite a big purse.
Yeah.
And then they split that amongst the teams.
I don't know if it's
teams.
Materially making Wisconsin more likely to win a national championship in the future.
It affects you probably.
Zero.
0%. But I'm just putting it out there as a detail that should be considered potentially. All right, we'll take a break. It turns out the Cincinnati Bengals are going to do their darndest to keep a guy that we would love to see in a Packers uniform. That's next.